So I've handed around this outline that I'm going to go through. But before I do, I just want to recap quickly from last week for those of you who were not here. So last week we looked at some definitions about mindfulness. And specifically what I want to remember today is that we talked about mindfulness practices, which I call meditation techniques or meditation practices, being exercises that are specifically designed to raise your base level of mindful awareness. We said mindful awareness was a certain way of paying attention to things that we'll learn more about as the weeks go on. So we have mindful awareness, and we have meditation practices that we use or that are designed to help us increase our mindful awareness. And then I talked about a path, the mindfulness path, which I said was a sort of structured, intentional collection of practices that you're going to choose to do with the intention of raising your mindful awareness. Another thing you could say is that you're going to meditate so that you feel better. But since I was being very specific about definitions, that's how I was saying it. So I want to talk today about this path. And the path is sort of a formal word, and it shouldn't be taken too formally. We all have things that we like to do, different styles of meditation. We like to take our dog for a walk. We like to sit. We like to do music meditation. And we sort of have these things that we do on a somewhat regular basis. And that's really all I'm talking about when I say the path. But there are a lot of elements that you can use to create your own sort of process that I want to look at tonight. There's more to meditation than just sitting on the cushion with your eyes closed. And the reason I'm going over this now, before we've actually learned any specific techniques, is because you're going to do what works for you and what you enjoy. And I don't want to give you an outline that sounds like I'm saying you have to do this and this and this and you have to use that technique here. So this is a sort of open framework that as we go through the weeks and you find something you like and you're thinking, oh, I want to do that. Now you've got a place to hang that so that you can actually use whatever it is that you've learned that you want to continue with. So as it says on this outline, there's different elements that will come up as things that you do in your practice. So the first thing is a formal practice, and that's what we're pretty much all aware of, where you sit for a specified period of time and you do a specific technique that you've chosen to do. And that could be anything, you know. It could be breathing, it could be visualization, whatever it is, it's formal because you're sitting down and you're going to do it. Maybe you're not sitting down, but you've set aside some time and you're going to do it. Now you can do this in stillness, I'm calling it, which means you're sitting still or you're standing or you're lying down. You know, whatever posture you choose, you're going to sit and meditate and close your eyes or maybe not close your eyes, but you're putting all of your attention into it. And that's sort of what we think of as doing meditation, right? So you can do that. You can also do the same thing in motion. You can have your eyes open because you're moving. But this is the walking meditation, which we did some of last week. And I'll give some instructions this week. You can do meditation with simple activity to move towards bringing it into your daily life as a sort of habitual thing that you do. So some examples here: walking meditation, eating meditation. If you come to the retreat, there'll be instruction about eating meditation. So in motion, you might do something like walking, eating meditation. If you do yoga, you can do meditation while you're doing the yoga. Doing the dishes is actually quite a fun place to meditate, and you do that It makes doing the dishes bearable, right? We'll be learning some techniques in a couple of weeks for sensation and sound and such that are really nice with washing dishes. But that would be still part of a formal practice, because you're going to say, for the next 10 minutes, as I wash dishes, I'm going to meditate. And you're going to put attention into meditating while you wash dishes. So we call that formal practice, and it's in motion because you're doing a little bit of activity. Now, I've put some tips for implementation on this outline here, and I think I'll come back round to that after we've gone through some of these other elements. But it's important that you try and do some formal meditation most days, like minimum 10 minutes if possible. If you can't do 10 minutes, it's better to do 5 minutes than no minutes. But see if you can find some time in your day to do formal practice, either sitting, standing, walking, doing the dishes. But a period of time when you're putting 100% of your attention into a meditation practice. Now then we get into what I'm calling life practice, which is when you're out and about in your life, but you're going to have little moments of meditation that you're going to bring into your life. So the sitting on the cushion practice is going to seep into your life. You're going to see that happen regardless. But if you can intentionally bring little pieces of meditation into your life as you go, then you're going to see the benefit of that more quickly. And so it's sort of like an accelerator. So I've got a few different kinds of life practice. The micro hit is when you do a formal technique, as you would if you were just sitting, but you just do it for a very short period of time. So you're at a traffic light, and you've got 30 seconds before the light changes. Probably if you're in your car, don't shut your eyes, but you can follow your breath for 30 seconds, and then you carry on. Or you're waiting in line for your ticket at the movie theater. You just do a minute of loving kindness. You know, so these little micro bursts of meditation wherever you have the opportunity to do them. So you don't have to have a long period of time. You don't have to have a quiet place and go sit down and close your eyes and sit in lotus position. Just wherever you are, you got 30 seconds here and 3 minutes there. And those can be either planned or spontaneous. So, for example, you can teach yourself that every time you're at the Humphreys and Aspen traffic light that takes 3 minutes to turn, you know, every time you get to that light, you're going to do a micro hit. And then that's just sort of in your head, and you forget about doing it all day long, but then you happen to be at that light, and you think, oh, right, micro hit, and you do, you know, a minute of meditation. So you can plan it in that way, or you can say, okay, I got a test coming up or an interview, so I'm going to do 1 minute in the bathroom before I go and enter the test. I'm going to just go do some meditation, right? And then it can be spontaneous also, just when it comes to mind. Maybe you suddenly, as you're walking along, hear a beautiful bird song. You can just stop and do 30 seconds of listening meditation. So that's what the micro hits are. It's 100% attention, but very short period of time. Now, as I said, we haven't learned specific techniques yet, so this might seem a little bit like hard to imagine, but as we go through it, you'll be able to start plugging things into these categories. So the second life practice is background practice, and that's when you're not using your full attention. It's just sort of in the back of your mind, but you're trying to remember to be aware of the present moment while you're doing other stuff. So it really is sort of in the background. But you're training yourself to be remembering that you want to be here. So you might be driving in traffic or, you know, working at your computer. You're not going to be able to be doing this formal practice, but you will have in the back of your mind every so often, oh, right, here I am working. You know, here I am driving. So you've got this background practice going on. And that's something that over time will become habitual, and you'll realize that you're doing it without intentionally doing it, which is part of the point of these life practices, so that they become habitual. And then they really start making a difference in your interactions and your reactions in life. And then spontaneity practice. That's something that we're not going to be looking at for a couple of months, but it's like you just sort of fall into an activity. You probably heard that Zen thing about when you chop vegetables, you just chop vegetables, you know, or there's no one there, there's just chopping vegetables. We'll be getting into that sort of practice later, but. We call it spontaneity because with our mind, we're learning how to experience the moment without the interference of the mind. The mind is still doing its thinking and its reacting, but we're aware of that. We're trying to experience sort of before those reactions. With spontaneity practice, it's the motor side of that. So we're learning to move before our brains get involved and start directing, which is actually pretty cool. So don't miss that. So again, don't worry about actually doing these things, but keep this structure in mind as you start doing more and learning more techniques. So then the third thing that's pretty important is retreats. The intensive practice that you can get by sitting for a long period of time, even if it's just a four-hour retreat, maybe it's a 10-day retreat, but the intensity of the continuity of sitting with just the intention of meditating, especially if you have a teacher or some sort of guidance to direct that, really can't be found in any other situation. So it's a really good thing to try and do. Now, of course, I put first here to try and do a 5 to 10 day residential retreat every year, and I probably should have put that at the end of the list because that can be pretty daunting. But it's a good thing to do if you decide you want to get serious about your meditation practice. Now, you don't have to start with a long residential retreat. There are many 1 and 2 day non-residential retreats here in Flagstaff from many different teachers. And in fact, we have one coming up on the 3rd of February. And there's a poster up on the window over there describing it and a sign-up sheet if you want to attend. It's free by donation if you choose to. But there are lots of other teachers in town. And so that's a good place to start 1 day or 2 day non-residential retreats. And then there's this final option. If you can't get away for even for a weekend, you know, you got a job or you got kids or you got homework or something, there is this thing called the Home Practice Program, which my teacher Shinzen started, which is a conference call. It happens once a month. There's 5 sessions. One is 2 hours and the other are each 4 hours. They're independent, so you can just do one of them. And you get on this conference call and you have instruction from a experienced teacher. There's like 50 or 100 people on the call from all over the world. You have meditation guided meditation, time to work on your own. There's a break in the middle where you can call the teacher if you want to talk to him personally. It's a Q&A period where you can unmute your phone and 100 people can hear you ask a question, and then you have some more meditation at the end. So it's a pretty cool thing if you can't manage your retreat, either because of time or finances or whatever. So once you decide that you want to pursue meditation, looking at retreats in some regularity is going to be a really helpful thing for you. Now, I don't want to have any of this sound like this is what you have to do or else you won't be successful, because that's not the case. You can just sit for 10 minutes every day and have a huge benefit from that. But all of these things will help sort of accelerate the process and broaden it into your life more noticeably and effectively. So there's a lot more on this handout here than what I've said, and I'm not sure that it's necessary to go into that now, especially since we don't have any practices yet to hang on to the framework. But if you hang on to this, it's also available, or it will be available on the website to download and on the Facebook page. Then in future, when you start thinking, wow, this is pretty cool, what else can I do to get more than just my daily sitting, then you can look at this and remember, you know, oh, I could do some micro hits, you know. So I have some other things to let you have. If you want to take one of these, this is just a reminder of each of the elements you can put on your fridge. And then for anyone who would like to be more rigorous about a structure, some of us are into that and some of us are more casual. So if this works for you, I have a meditation practice plan where you can fill in the things that you want to do. So I will meditate for so many minutes at such and such a time on these days. And then you'll remember what you plan for yourself. I will meditate for so many minutes during, and you can check off, doing yoga or doing this or doing that. These are when I'll do micro hits. And so you can experiment with that, and if that looks like something you want to try, it can be an awful lot of information, especially if you're relatively new to meditation, to be hearing all of this stuff about what is meditation, what's mindfulness, and what should I do, and what practice, and how long, and where, and when. And so this is just a way of sort of simplifying it. And if that works for you, that's great. And if not, then it makes good kindling. And again, this will also be on the website in the next few days once I get it formatted for uploading.